Welcome back to Community Connections, and now we change pace a bit. We've got our private investigator, Peter, from Absolute Facts. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Alan, for having me.
Always a great pleasure. Now, I know you had a few things we couldn't get covered last time, and unfortunately we are a bit short on time today because we've only got half an hour. So, Peter, and I've got a couple of questions to send you away with again. What did we send you away with last time, please, Peter?
Yeah, so I had a little bit of homework last time. We were talking about stolen cars and the youth crime rate and things like that last month. And your question was, what is the percentage of stolen cars that are recovered?
Yep.
And in June 2024, Victoria Police put out some information, and they referred to 94% statewide recovery rate on stolen cars.
Gee, so most of Marge is being knocked off for transport or to show off and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so again, probably linked in with youth crime. And just to highlight again, the main dumping grounds and indeed the main theft hotspots are Greater Dandenong, Cardinia and Casey.
Someone told me, and I don't know whether this is true or not, the reason they're dumped there is so they can walk home. I'm not going to cast aspersions like that.
No, that's right. Now, my other homework was to talk a little bit about court cases and being an expert witness.
Yes.
I might hold that over for next month, if that's all right, Alan, given we're a bit pressed for time today.
Yeah, of course.
So one of the things I did notice over the last little while was there's someone put up a post on Facebook. Basically, it was a sign up on a shop window saying, due to dishonesty, self-checkout is closed. Sorry to all the honest people. And then someone had typed in over the top of that, we did it. We beat the robots with dishonesty.
You can't knock that.
No, I thought that was quite interesting. And then sort of a similar segue to that with to do with sort of retail loss prevention, which is my speciality.
Yep.
There was an article talking about supermarket staff in particular now starting to wear body cameras to tackle and deal with the aggressive
disgraceful
behavior.
Isn't it?
Yeah, the fact that it's necessary is probably the concern. But yeah. They're saying that, and they of course have to receive training, and it's also a part of the training is to try and de-escalate aggressive behavior from customers. Which is quite interesting. So as a broad range of measures, body cameras are becoming more prevalent.
Peter, can I just ask you about that? If a store is going to arm their people, or not arm them, but if they're going to have these body cameras, do they have to put a notice on the door when people walk in so they're aware, or don't they have to? Because they are obvious.
I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure these days whether there's any actually requirement from a notice point of view, but I will double check on that, which is similar to the question about cameras in general that are in stores, and the fact that somewhere in the store, hidden on a wall somewhere in the corner, will be a notice saying that you are possibly being filmed in this location or whatever. I'm reading on, and it's saying that the staff that have the body cameras fitted aren't necessarily running all the time, and that they can elect to put them on if they're in a concerning situation, etc.
Oh, right.
And they may perhaps also...
No, you've frozen, Peter.
Presume.
They may also what? We've lost you, Peter.
To the aggressive.
Yep.
I still got you?
Yeah, we're right now, yep.
Suggest to the person that's being aggressive that they are being filmed. In other words, you know, they're on the body camera.
Yep.
Which is hopefully would work as a bit of a deterrent in that regard.
Yep.
Have I still got you?
Yep. Yeah. I'm with you. I was just waiting for you to keep going.
Sorry.
It's all right. I'm going to have to take a break in a couple of minutes. But no, look, I've got to take a break, Peter. I've just got some stuff pop up here. That I just have to take. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Is it unsafe to travel at night?
Well, it's safe to stay here. Your father's going to pick up our trail for a while.
Can Locke arrive?
Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? Out there.
Peter from Absolute Facts, and now he's our resident private investigator. Peter, first of all, that's not a song that I would have thought Pink Floyd sang. You obviously have heard it before.
Yeah, absolutely. I was only getting snippets of it through the mic, but it is a very melodic Pink Floyd
it is.
Song.
Not the sort of song. All right, Peter, we'll give you the questions for next time, but it's all rolled in. I've at least four questions I've rolled into one. If you were starting a business, now let me, I want to put two stipulations on this. First of all, we're not asking you to give us any inside information. And if it's stuff where you would normally charge people for the information, then we don't expect you to give it to us for free. But if you were starting up a business, what would you do or what equipment or whatever would you do for asset protection, which is shoplifting, if it was a small shop? As opposed to if you had a big business or a wholesale business, and what sort of notices do you have to put up? And the other thing is too, what would you do, and I'm talking about you now personally, you're setting up this business to protect yourself against fraud. And we know fraud can be a lot of things. It can be stock going out the door. It can be money going out the door as well. Now, I'm not talking about... you don't have to be an accountant, but I'm talking about if you were running a business or starting up a business, what would you do to set it up so that you were, as safe as you could possibly be? And,
sure.
And what notices you'd have to put up and what you'd have to let people know. So if you could let us know that for next time, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, there's a bit of a legal minefield there, but, you've got to... You've got to be proactive these days, not reactive. So that's the way it needs to be.
Yep. Now, you had some other stuff that you were talking about, Peter. We took the question in case we ran out of time.
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that's made quite a bit of recent newspaper coverage and coverage in general is this business about the right to disconnect, where the employers don't have to... necessarily respond to after hours or on holiday requests and emails, unless there's always a caveat here, and unless it's exceptional circumstances in inverted commas or part of your normal work duties, which is another sort of seems to be a bit of a cop-out. But in general terms, I'm guessing what it means is if you're an employee and you walk out the office at the end of your shift or out of the factory or whatever it might be, then the employer should not really bother you unless it was absolutely necessary until you come back in and clock in again. And I think that's probably a very good development in respect to work-life balance that people talk about and things like that. For us that are self-employed, it's probably irrelevant in many ways. But
I was just going to say, Peter, just to cut across you, if you were working, like I know you work for yourself, but if you were working for, somebody who employed half a dozen private investigators, like how would that work? I mean, you guys got to work 24 hours a day, don't you, if that's what's needed?
Yeah, look, I think, I have actually done this in my past. I have actually managed what you'd term, I suppose, a medium-sized investigation firm, and it can be very much a juggling act. And people that are perhaps contractors rather than employees feel like they have less of an obligation to jump at your so to speak. So, look, the bottom line is the buck stops with the person. So there's been occasions where you just have to physically go and do something yourself because you can't get anyone else to do it.
Fair enough. So, but I mean, if you weren't the boss, if you were one of the employees, well, surely the employer would be able to ring up and say, Peter, we need you to get out the front of this door because even if it's out of your working hours, wouldn't they?
Yeah, look, I mean, that could well be the case. And I think that generally, and we're hearing it anecdotally, that manning, in inverted commas, issues is becoming more and more of a problem, and that people, again, you know, part this right to disconnect and things like that, or generally people, you know, that they just say no, that they won't accept, they won't necessarily accept an extra shift or a double shift or something that's not convenient for them. They're seemingly less inclined to put themselves out for the employer, which is, you know, cuts both ways, of course.
Yep.
And I know from, look, my long distant past experience when I was completing insurance investigations, they just kept throwing files at you, and you pretty much got to the point where you were trying to put out 20 or 30 fires at one time, and you just go, look, I just don't want any more files for the moment. Yeah. And then, of course, they turn around and say, I'll just go and start the file, get it started. And then you just keep doing that. And then all of a sudden you're not finishing files. And then you get the rocket to say, well, you haven't handed that file. And you go, well, you keep sending me out on more jobs. So it's a bit of a two-way thing. But, look, yep. Generally, I mean, it's nice to be busy in some ways.
Yep.
But sometimes it can get a bit overwhelming as well. So I think overall this right to disconnect, as it's being called, I think it's quite a good thing.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, you have to get a life balance, a work-life balance, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So one of the other ones that we've touched on before too, Alan, is the basically company failures are really, again, still tipped to surge, and I keep a bit of an eye on the building industry as they... And they're reporting, you know, multiple home construction companies in particular are sort of going to the wall.
I think another one went to the wall this week, didn't it?
Yes, two this week, I think, that I've seen,
two?
At least in Victoria. I think one was down Geelong way and the other one was in the city somewhere. So, and basically they're blaming the interest rates, the rate of inflation, cost of living pressures, and all that sort of thing, and there really is there's a fear, I guess, Alan, that there's a lot more insolvencies in business to wash through yet, and people are just barely hanging on. And of course, in Victoria in particular, with, you know, compliance and fees and charges and the ever increasing utility costs, it's just, you know, again, people are just barely hanging in there trying to stay afloat.
I believe that the, not the entertainment industry, but, you know, the going out, the restaurants, coffee shops, I believe that they're falling over to rabbit rate or knots.
Yeah, microbreweries is the one that's come up lately too. A lot of them have just pretty much gone to the wall as well. And, you know, some of them, some businesses, including perhaps the odd micro brewery, have, you know, received some generous government support as well, only to still fail. So, yeah, it's a concern, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not... Sorry.
Anyone who can continue to run a small business at the moment, in particular, I applaud their efforts.
Yeah, and some of these people, like, they've got their houses on the line, all that sort of stuff too, haven't they?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, of course, and it's also relevant to not-for-profit associations as well, that the onus on people that take a position on a board or things along those lines, you know, there can now be an element of personal liability, which would probably make people, I guess, more reluctant to take up a voluntary position, you know, whether it's the president of a not-for-profit association and all those sort of things. And it washes through, doesn't it? Football clubs and sporting clubs, it's the same thing, yeah.
Peter, unfortunately, I got to fly, but look, thank you for your time. Next month, we'll definitely have the full hour, and we'll look forward to hearing about the court cases that you were going to look at for us, and also catch up on what you'd do if you were going to start a decent-sized business.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all, Alan. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thank you, Peter. See you. Bye.